Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm pleased to have back as my guest Penny Pierce, who is the author of Transparency, Seeing Through Our Expanded Human Capacity. Penny's been on the show multiple times before. You can look at the archives at www.plasticos.com. We've interviewed her on her book Frequency and several other books. So take a look if you want to explore Penny's other books. But this Transparency book is one, I think, that's very good for the times that we're in. Penny's a respected visionary and clairvoyant empath. She's internationally recognized pioneer in the field of intuition development and personal transformation. And she's also the author of Leap of Perception, The Intuitive Way, and Frequency. Welcome, Penny. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me back again.
Well, you're very welcome. Would you like to give the listening audience a little bit about your background and what inspired you to write this book?
Well, it's been a progressive journey. You know, I started off actually as a graphic designer and interior designer, and then started getting a lot of openings into higher knowledge and metaphysical stuff. So I started working with intuition, which seemed like a natural segue from from my art career. And then that just grew and grew. So, you know, I started writing the first book, Intuitive Way, and then a bunch of books on dreams, and then finally Frequency, which has been a really big seller about how we're all made of energy and stuff. And then another, you know, it's like the world is increasing in vibration, and every couple of years I get a new chapter in the description of the transformation process, which is what I've become mainly fascinated with. So then Leap of Perception came, and then after that, Transparency dropped in. And it's sort of like when the energy's ready, the next book sort of shows up. So.
Yeah, it's much easier to write that way, isn't it, rather than to, you know, have to really hammer it out.
To try to force something, you know,
right.
it's not. And often what I find when the book's ready and the information, there's a body of information that wants to kind of come in, I feel like it writes itself. In fact, I can't even remember what I've written sometimes. I go back and think, oh, did I do that? You know, like it's sort of some, I call it the writers in the sky, you know, they're kind of
it's
helping
true.
Me bring this
no,
stuff
that's
through.
Very true. When you bring stuff in at that level, and also you see an organizational content that you never actually saw before you actually read your work, which is interesting.
That's
you know,
right.
Because you're just bringing it in, and yet it's very well organized and divided into discrete ideas that then are all tied together, and you don't remember doing that. So
no,
that's
but
another,
I think that's where the design background comes in, because that's all about, you know, grounded problem solving and design thinking, and you know it's structural.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Sort of a blend of being able to go into higher realms and be in the physical world at the same time and make it practical and useful.
You had an interesting description in your book about the counsel that you perceive when you're in the higher realms.
Yeah,
would you like to talk a little
when
bit about
I was
that?
Opening up, everybody was doing channeling and stuff, and I never had, you know, a real sense of having any entity or anything. But when I would meditate, I would see this circle up above my head, and I would kind of go up there and found that there was like a room with a round table and this council of beings sitting around it. I never saw faces or had names. I don't know who they are. They're just probably my soul group of some sort, you know. But I had a chair at the table, and I would sit at the table, and then there would be this kind of a mind meld or something, and everything telepathic. I could ask a question, and everybody would answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would sort of get a download, I guess, and then I'd come back sort of down in frequency to my regular reality. And then, you know, over time, maybe a week or so, that knowledge would unfold, and I'd have ideas popping up.
I want to share with you something that I observed while I had a video production company, and we were filming at a conscious aging thing here in Atlanta. And one of the people we filmed was Ram Dass, and that was right before he had a stroke. So this was really his last thing before, you know, he had the stroke. And I was in the room observing, and I saw a a circle of beings above his head, and he would be asked the question by the interviewer, and then he would be silent, and you could see that there was a transfer of information from the circle to him, and then he would speak. So you're in good company. Ram Dass is also doing the same thing.
I saw Ram Dass in Marin County when after he had the stroke, and he had an assistant with him helping him. He had trouble word finding, you know, and getting things out, and she helped him a lot. But he was still just so conscious, and wow, it was really quite a lesson in humility. And you know, I talk about humility in the book Transparency. Is that it's not like it's less than anybody. It's so real. It's so who you are in any given moment, just simple and clean. And he certainly was that way.
Yeah, well, you know, I appreciate the fact that he had his journey at the time he did. You know, that was the time of the LSD stuff and and seeking the gurus in India. And I read his book when I was in high school. It was one of the books that really opened up this world to me. So I was very appreciative of Ram Dass. It took a lot of courage to do what he did. You know, it really did.
Yeah, really did. But then again, sometimes I think courage is not really that much of a choice. It's kind of, and even for heroes, you know, it's just, you just do it. It's just the next thing that really feels like you must do it.
Yeah, his life's path, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so the idea of transparency has a whole different meaning now that we have the social media, the Freedom of Information Act, although you point out in your book that that's not really so much freedom of information because they redact a lot.
Redacted and,
it's a great idea, but it really doesn't work. But you know, to envision a world that is more transparent, a world that is not dealing in secrets and dealing in stalling and roadblocks and, you know, the past world of the Cold War and the, you know, the need to keep secrets for national security. It's really a great idea that we could create a more transparent world.
Yeah, well, I started thinking about transparency, and of course, we always think in the beginning that it's all about information, because I think we're still in the information age, so we're thinking about that a lot. And so I call that horizontal transparency, because it's still kind of in this world.
Right.
And that's a starting point, you know, is to get access to authentic leaders, you know, people who don't lie and don't, you know, wear masks and things like that. And you know, be able to, I think, you know, too, because the frequency on the planet's going up, we are much more impatient with lies. You know, we can feel it right away when somebody's, you know, avoiding things, and we just, you know, can't stand it. We're very impatient, and we want the truth. So that thing is accelerating.
Well, you point out there were, coming out of the information age, which probably started back with computers and the internet and that kind of thing, and we're going into the intuitive age, which I think is true. So once you become intuitive, you know immediately when someone is covering something up or lying. I mean, it's almost like what I tell my employees is don't lie to me, because it's like you have a red flag up saying I'm lying. So
right.
Just don't do it, because my spider senses go off, and I know exactly when you're lying, and it's just worthless. But when everybody becomes like that, lying will become socially unacceptable, because, you know, why lie? Because you're just going to lose respect from your peers, you know.
Well, also, you know, this whole other idea of vertical transparency, which is, you know, the newer thing, you know, where... To me, what that means is that that you identify yourself as the soul. In other words, the spiritual, non-physical realm, you start to see that it's merged with the physical. It's not separate. There's no connecting link anymore. They're actually together already. Mm-hmm. And you are the soul, and you are creating your personality and your life along with everybody else. And as soon as you can become your soul and realize it in a personal level in your own body, then you can suddenly see into matter and see that, hey, spirit's inside of matter. You know, matter's full of energy and consciousness and light. And so there's no reason why the physical plane should not operate according to the spiritual truth and the universal laws and principles. So what happens then, you know, is that lying or trying to control people from seeing how bad you really are, you know, you don't even think of yourself as being flawed. The soul is perfect. It doesn't understand even what healing is because it doesn't need healing. I think healing will eventually just disappear because we won't need it. But, you know, so there are a lot of things when you're identifying as the soul and seeing spirit and working within the realm, the world of spirit, that, like, lies become, like, ridiculous. Like a ridiculous waste of time.
There's no,
like silly.
There's no place for them.
Right.
Well, the soul
no
is outside of space and time, so there's a path that you can be guided on that's an optimal path, but because the soul's outside of space and time, there's no need for any cover-ups, any lies, any secrets as you go, you know, secrets as you talk about in the book.
Right, right. And I think that when we do get this vertical transparency, and that's like a personal sense of being transparent, it starts with every individual. And then it just spreads like it's contagious. Because if you become transparent, that means that you're honest, authentic, you're not hiding, you let yourself be exposed, because why hide anything? You're fine. You know, you're human. Everybody, you know, makes mistakes, and I say get spinach in their teeth, you know. And so, you know, why don't we just share our totality with each other? And then as you do, you can see through other people into their soul and see who they really are, what their gifts really are, and then they can see into you. And it's very mutual. So as soon as you can see into yourself, you start to be able to see through the surface of problems, you know, snags, people who are wearing masks. And then you don't judge that as negative. You just say that it's kind of like ignorance. It's a layer of clutter that we really don't need. Right. And as we relate to each other really as the soul, then it's telepathic. You know, people start to get that you're not judging them, and they relax. And then they can drop into themselves, and then they can feel themselves, and then they can see you. You know, and so it's like this kind of snowball, you know. It's just grows. Because it's really the natural state. It's what we've been craving, you know, but we had all these excuses and explanations about why we couldn't be that way.
I think
so
fear
I think we're not
general,
tolerating those interferences much anymore.
I think that the fears, though, the fear of not fitting in, the fear of losing security, which is probably illusionary anyway, all these fears are what create the behaviors that you're talking about, you know, not doing anymore.
Yeah. You know, I've been trying to talk in my books about, too, about, you know, this whole thing of lack of security or not having enough money or whatever. It's all about how we create things with our attention. You know, that it's so easy in the intuitive reality that becomes, you know, and my book Leap of Perception is about this, where we're changing out of linear perception, where we have past, present, future, into a spherical, holographic kind of perception where everything's in the present moment, and it's a big ball around you, and you're in the center of it, and you never leave the center, and there is no outside world. And when you start to get that, then you can see that you don't have to live with this idea of lack and limitation, because whatever you put your attention on materializes for you. And if you take your attention out of something, it dematerializes and goes back into the field.
Right.
So it's all a matter of working with your attention. You know, and of course we're quite fragmented right now with cell phones and screen addiction and you know, all of that we don't use our attention very well at this point.
Right. Yeah, we're distracted onto the devices.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
I almost feel like our attention gets sucked into the cell phone. You know, it's like some kind of vampire that takes our attention into it.
You mentioned a movie that I saw, and it had quite an effect on me as well, and I'm glad you mentioned in your book, called The Circle.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's a, would you like to describe that a little bit for the listening audience? It's a very interesting idea taken to an extreme.
Yes. You know, it talks about a company, like a mega company, I guess it could be like Google to the nth degree or something, where everybody, they get the idea that everything should be transparent, and that means that people should be online all the time and revealing themselves, and then it gets to the point where they have little cameras on them, and then they send little tiny cameras all over the world that can look at everything and know where everybody is, and it's like, you know, this worst version of Big Brother, really. And and yet the naivete of the people who think that this is really the answer is that transparency is just physical, in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frightening. You know, this is the left brain's version of transparency.
Right, right, yeah. Well, to some extent, though, if people are not careful in today's world and share too much on social media, you know, the idea that, you know, you share that you go on vacation and your house gets broken into.
Yes.
You know, there. Unfortunately, we do not live in a world where you can share all information freely to everyone. You know, you can share all information freely to some people, but you do have to use discernment still.
In the book, I talk about
the horizontal world.
We're living in the bridge time, you know, where some people are really awake and clear. Some people are just waking up. Some people haven't woken up. Some people are resisting, you know, vehemently waking up to, you know, change their idea of how reality works. And so it isn't really totally safe to be naively revealing, like you said, everything about yourself. But you can be, like when I moved to Florida, my own inner voice said, you know, that I don't match up very well with the frequency of a lot of the people here, mainly because it's quite, you know, conservative and fundamental. And I try to tell them what I was doing, and they didn't. They would just be this blank look on their face.
Right, yeah.
So I finally got to say, well, I write self-help books, and then leave it at that.
Yeah.
And it's not, and they're very loving people. It's not that. It's just that the frequency doesn't match. And so my guidance said, don't really try to expand yourself. Let yourself be exposed. And I went, what? You know, just be open. Let people see you. If they're at the right vibration, they'll find you. They'll see you. And if they can't see you, they won't notice you, basically.
Yeah.
But just be an open space in the field of Florida or wherever you are. Because the challenge here is to be your true self no matter where on earth you are. You know, there aren't special environments where it's, you know, proper for you to be, where it's easy to be spiritual. And, you know, so that's part of it. I think we have to be intuitive, you know, about
we do.
Who can receive the information, who's on your wavelength, and how to talk about things at different levels until, you know, more people are on the higher frequency consciously.
And I used to go to social events, and instead of trying to talk to people about any of this, I would just sit in the corner, and then inevitably somebody would come up to me and want to talk about, you know, spirituality and consciousness. You know, it's you do have to understand that at least back then, this was probably in the 90s, this stuff wasn't readily accepted. It's more accepted now, but it's still very scary to some people to think that clairvoyance and that level of intuition exists, because if so, then their negative thoughts and their hate thoughts and whatever would be in their mind exposed.
Yeah.
And that's not really what it's about. I mean, no clairvoyant really just goes around reading everybody's mind. I mean, that's an invasion of privacy. But people don't understand that if you're at the level of being a clairvoyant, then you're not going to invade people's privacy. You know, it's just unethical.
I mean, part of it is you're keeping your attention on things that are of your own home frequency, mainly.
Right.
You know, and if you match frequencies with people who are at lower vibration, like hateful thinking, then you feel bad. You know what? Don't
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Stay at your own level, and they'll eventually get it and come up to your level and
right.
and say what's going on over here. Let me learn about it.
But it does frighten people. I had, in fact, I had two different managers here. I've been in business about 33 years, so two different managers in the past that wouldn't let me do healings on them when they were sick, even though it would have benefited them, because later on they told me they were afraid that I was going to read their mind.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very interesting.
And
I wouldn't have tried to read their mind.
I
would just try to help them with whatever illness they were having. I wouldn't have tried to read their mind at all.
Yeah, well, that's
but
the
these are the
brain.
Misconceptions people have, and
that's
it's
right.
fear.
It's and it's
fear.
Because they're not feeling who they really are. You know, they're thinking they
or
are.
Or they have
the
something
brain.
To hide. You know, that they don't want me to know. And it turned out that two of them did. You know, they were
mm-hmm.
engaged in activities that I wouldn't have approved of. So mm-hmm. you know, they were hiding something. Hence the secrets. You know.
yeah. It takes so much energy to do that. And to hide and keep secrets. And when you do, you immediately block the experience of you as your own soul.
Right.
You know, and as soon as you try hiding and cutting off the flow of energy, you go into your left brain. And the left brain is not in the present moment. It's in the past. You know, and it only knows how to do things that it's done before. You know, so you have to be able to be in the present moment, in your body, and not, you know, in preconceived ideas, so opening your right brain a little bit so that you can get fresh and clear new information that comes from a very high level. And that's the habit. That's the skill sets, you know, that we're starting to learn now.
In the book, you talk about families that might have several generations ago had somebody who murdered somebody, like a great-grandfather.
Right.
And it's effect. And this is a secret that is kept in the family and not talked about, and the kind of effect it has on subsequent generations.
I've seen this in a variation of ways, but that is a good example, because if there was like a violent crime or somebody, you know, the great-great-great-grandfather killed somebody, let's say, then and nobody talked about it, then it's like in the field of the family lineage. And so then the next generation comes in, and they feel that weird thing in there, like a burr under the saddle, you know, and like, wait, what is going on? And then they think it's about them. So then they'll act out by committing suicide or getting involved in drugs and trying to not remember and not think about anything. And then that's why sometimes suicide runs in families. It's just in this weird mystery about death. And, you know, so one secret can go down through generations quite a long time. You know, sometimes whole families are affected by that, you know, and they, you know, anyway.
Well, when the other one you talked about, which was interesting, was that, you know, a child born in a family that wasn't the husband's child, you know, a child born out of an affair during the marriage. And, you know, there's DNA testing now, so if anybody wants to check that, it can be checked. But I really think that happens a lot more than people think.
If the husband is not the father, it's like they know anyway. You know, even if
Deep down,
on the conscious level say, okay, this is my child, and yet underneath they know anyway, and they may treat that child differently. You know, and everybody feels it, you know.
Right.
It's like we are so telepathic and so kinesthetic. We, you know, it's like male lions, you know, they kill the offspring of other male lions when they come in to take over.
Well, that's kind of some of the damaging effects of secrets. And I think you could even take it a step further to say that if you've got some very heavy-duty secrets, that it really can affect your physical health, like the woman who keeps the information about having the child may develop different real serious illnesses as a base, you know. And then if you traveled on back with downward causation, you'd find that was the main cause.
Well, and it's holding back the flow of life force energy, basically.
Right.
to hold back on a big truth or even little truths, you know, that constant feeling that you have to have white lies to make everybody else feel better. It takes, like I said, it takes a lot of energy, but it also blocks your energy every single time you do it.
Right.
And it doesn't mean you have to be brutally honest. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. But when you're identifying as a soul, compassion is the evolutionary force. You know, and compassion rules honesty. So there are ways to describe things to people that are educational, that are helpful, that are not shocking and mean and sarcastic. You know, and we have to be aware that we actually have ways of being vengeful on other people that are very subtle, you know, like sarcasm, for instance. And all this, you know, this stuff that reality TV brought up of you're fired, you know, the mean girls and all that stuff, where it's kind of cool to be able to let out your negative subconscious blocks and feelings, which, of course, in the long run is part of this overall clearing process that we're all in, personally and societally. You know, so overall,
but you can let
it's a good
out.
Thing.
You can
if
let
you
it out without hurting others. Yeah.
Yes, and if you don't get attached to the idea that I'm so great because I can hurt other people.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So
but
where
really,
do you
think,
see...
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just think transparency is a matter of just a simplicity of, you know, being honest in each moment about what you're feeling, letting it be, being with it, honoring everything, and then choosing to remember to choose to be in your home frequency, which to me is the soul in the body, that when you're being the way you like, when you're your preferred state, you know, and not letting other people drag you down, don't match vibrations that are lower than the way you like to feel, and don't think the outside world owes you, you know, feeling good, you know.
Yeah. And you know how many people now are not watching the evening news or, you know, participating in reading the online things that are so ridiculous now, so critical. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are choosing just to not engage in certain social media because it would bring them down.
Yes, yes. And I think, you know, part of us really being able to feel who we really are is not to fill ourselves up with other people's creativity. You know, like if you watch all the TV shows, that's somebody else's creative thinking, their decisions about what is popular. And if you stop that for a while, you know, stop the incoming input and just see what wants to come out of you when you're after you've been quiet for a while. You know, that is a revelation, you know. I think, you know, part of it is that we don't know how to be quiet right now. And in order to go to the right brain from the left brain, and in order to open your intuition, you have to move into the center of yourself. You have to move toward the right brain, which has no language. Remember, if you're in talking to yourself in your head, you're in your left brain.
Right. Yeah.
When you're quiet and go into silence and just be, that meditation helps us with a lot. At that point, then, you start to be able to adjust your consciousness to listen to the collective consciousness, the soul, the higher vibration, you know, that which is who you truly are. And otherwise, you're stuck in that yada yada stuff, you know. And, so I really think we need to be quiet. We need to get authentic input from our own self, and we need to encourage ourselves to express ourselves authentically and not to hold back, not to hide, but let the energy flow.
When you talk about personal transparency, you talk about decluttering your life. Would you like to explain that further?
Well, that goes back to this simplicity thing, is that, you know, we, first of all, I think we have an awful lot of fragmentation by letting our consciousness jump from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing, you know, it's just constantly and not being able to be quiet. So we need to build in quiet time or my sister calls it staring into space time, or being in nature and listening to trees, you know, things where you can just get your body to calm down and recenter like that. So that kind of causes you to go into what I was calling liminal space, which is that sort of like, you know, the caterpillar in the pupa, where it actually turns into the butterfly by melting down all of its particles and then reassembling them in a new form, which is the butterfly. Mm-hmm. And we need that quiet time, that pregnant sort of gestating time, where the soul can come in and bring us new combinations of variables. You know, everything's right. available to us in the imaginal realm, but mm-hmm. we need to be open to new combinations. And, you know, when we allow some quiet, then we can get new ideas. We can rejuvenate. But
and
I don't
you
see
have
people
to be
doing
okay
that
with
much.
Not doing anything, you know,
yeah.
just being. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like people have to get sick or have a crisis before they'll let themselves stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, having a conscious break from the cell phone or, you know, just not having it at meals with you, just anything where you go back into, you know, normal human rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
Because those normal human rhythms are inspired. You know, if you go into your humanity, you're going to, like I, the whole subtitle of my book is Seeing Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We are amazing, and we have all these gifts that the gadgets and the, you know, are trying to copy. But we can do it directly. We're telepathic. You know, we can heal instantly. It's amazing stuff.
It is. And we really need to have, I guess, a sense of what is possible. Because right now, being so cluttered and busy, we don't allow that vision to form.
Right. You know, part of the clutter literally is physical clutter.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a woman a little while ago who said she just goes on Amazon and just buys something, and that feels satisfying, and then when she gets the thing, she doesn't even use it, and so she has all this mm-hmm. stuff piling up in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so some of it is just getting rid of things that are not essential, and what I mean by that is essential meaning of the being, things mm-hmm. that are not directly related to the way you like to feel.
Right.
I think the first part of this year has been a lot about that, of getting rid of things that are clutter, that are distracting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gone through my sock drawers and my, you know, gotten rid of
right.
clothes that just were, you know, something I used to wear that really doesn't feel like the way I want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And even things in the kitchen, just anything, just clearing out. And it's been a quiet beginning of the year. I think you said something to me about that too. Just sort of,
yeah.
I just felt like puttering around, cleaning up, tidying up. Like, when is life going to mm-hmm. start? I'm waiting. I'm needing to be quiet here for a while.
I think we're all about to undergo a significant shift in vibration frequency. That you know, it's been called the ascension. It's got a lot of different ideas throughout religion and history, but it's certainly something that when you're just third dimensional, you can't even really conceive of it. It's,
right.
it's very foreign.
Right,
so,
you're too
you have
linear.
To take a higher perspective because
exactly.
because in the third dimension, it just doesn't feel like it could ever happen.
And also, if the left brain thinks about something like ascension, it wants to make it. Connect it with a date, you know, like everybody's going to change on
mm-hmm.
this day or something. It's not
right.
like that. It's spread out, I think, over time, and it is incremental. And as much as you can handle at any one time, you will adjust to. And that's part of the reason why we need to be quiet sometimes, is that
mm-hmm.
there are waves of energy coming through the planet. And I find often it makes you want to take a nap in the afternoon, just relax and get out of your head, so that the body can do its business and adjust itself. The body doesn't have any problem adjusting. It's the old habits and that fixed ideas that keep us locked into an old pattern, holding pattern, you know. And then scientists, the new waves of energy make us feel very irritated and upset and anxious.
Right. Yeah. Scientists have said that the degree of cosmic energy coming to the planet now has never been so high. So something's happening. I mean, you know, it used to be the cosmic energy was entering at the poles, you know, Antarctica and the Arctic, and was taking out the ozone there. My brother's an expert on ozone and was the head of the ozone committee for the U.S. and testified in front of Congress and everything. So I know a lot about ozone because of my brother. So the cosmic energy was removing the ozone at the poles. And you have to kind of understand this energy as relates to electromagnetic fields. So right now we're undergoing a pole shift, and this cosmic energy has never been so high. And in fact, some of the scientists were saying that it could have health consequences, which, you know, might be true. I don't know. It certainly is causing speciation. David Wilcox talks about the high level of species that are, you know, going away and then new species coming up. So cosmic energy could cause speciation because of genetic mutations.
Yeah.
You know, you would think at very high levels it might do that. Now, does it cause cancer? I don't know. You know, theoretically it could, but, you know, not necessarily. But I think every 27 or 29,000 years, this cosmic energy comes in, and then there's a speciation event. So we are in the midst of it.
I think so. And I think that, you know, we have to recognize those waves and allow our bodies to adjust. Because if you resist it, then it backs up in you like water behind a dam, and it really irritates the body, and it can make you very anxious, stressed. I mean, I think it stresses the adrenal glands and cortisol levels, and it's invisible. You know, it's not like it's just the negativity in the world, which also stresses us.
Which is also high right now, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's something that every individual, I think, is feeling, some more than others. But, you know, on the days when it's really bad, we have about 32 employees in this office, and I'd say a third of them are dead tired.
Yeah.
On the days where the energy is very, very high.
Yeah.
And then
we really
the other thing
naps
is
on days
people
like that.
can't sleep. You know, they wake up at 3 in the morning wide awake and can't get back to sleep. That's the other
part of it.
Yeah.
I think the wave comes in and it can make you very anxious. And I experienced the same thing. Hard to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to take a nap and go into what I call a coma nap, you know, one of those kind of things where you just drop out. And it could be 20 minutes, you know, and then, I'm back, you know. So that kind of thing. But especially not to pressure ourselves ambitiously at this time, I think, because that's left brain again, that's willpower.
Mm-hmm.
More it's to be one with the flow and allow that energy of the collective consciousness, which is we are that collective consciousness at a higher level. You know, we're part of it, so it's our friend. You know, and the flow is our best friend. So it's helping us evolve. And if we just trust it and relax into it and let us move us to the next observation or the next thing that we notice and the next thing that we feel we want to do and just move around bit by bit like that. I had an experience one morning where I woke up in bed and I thought, well, I should get up now. And a voice in my head said, don't think about that right now.
Right.
I said, oh, okay. So then I said, well, I could clean out that closet today. Don't think about that right now. You know,
I just blanked out.
I lay there. And then my body got up on its own, all by itself, and went in the bathroom, you know. And I went, oh, my gosh, I'm not directing my body to do the next thing.
Right.
And then I played with that all day long. It was like magic, you know. Where I wasn't giving myself commands. I thought, okay, this is the way it feels. This is the way, you know. I think maybe we have to learn that.
Well, I think we're in a different time now, too. I think that we've not been exposed to these energies before in our lifetime. And I think that the instruction that you got that, you know, your mind saying, I want to get out of bed and do something, but the soul is saying, nope, I want you just to you know, not think about that now and just go with the flow. I think that's happening to a large number of people. I really do. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, because the left brain is dominant, and, you know, and I think too much left brain is actually ego. You know, we get stuck in it.
Yeah.
But because the left brain has been used to being the boss, and now it's the implementer, it's not the boss, it's having real hard time letting go, and that's ego death, basically.
Mm-hmm. It is.
We're having to move into a new identity that, hey, I'm not my left brain. I'm the soul, and I know exactly what I'm doing because I'm in touch with everything. You know, and we have to be kind, I think, to the left brain.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a client recently, and she said, my left brain thinks it's dragging, has to drag me into enlightenment. And I went, yeah, that's probably right. And, but we have to be kind to it and say, look, you don't have to know everything. Because it's actually, I think, stressed out that it thinks it has to know it all, and it really can't. You know, it's trying to operate beyond its functionality. And
well, the other thing it brings us to is trust. Because if the left brain isn't in control like we're used to, you know, where we get up and do things all day and earn money and do this and do that and, you know, do our responsibilities, but instead we're told to be most of the day. And, of course, you know, money isn't necessarily coming in that way. So we have to trust, because we're really in a position now where we have to trust that this is the way things are supposed to be and that we'll be taken care of, even though it doesn't seem like sometimes we know how we'll be taken care of. So these trust issues come up big
time.
That
trust thing is like you have to, like, have an experience, I think, in your inner world, in your meditation or whatever, that you are so interconnected with the collective consciousness of all beings. Mm-hmm. That includes trees and animals and everything. It's all conscious, and we're in this big field of consciousness, and we can't be outside of it. We can't be abandoned. Mm-hmm. It's impossible in the spiritual realm. And so everything supports us. We're being supported like, you know, in the middle, floating in space by these invisible hands.
Mm-hmm.
And we always get what we need, and we notice, we have that function inside of ourselves that helps us notice what we notice. And I call that our inner perceiver, but you could call it the Holy Spirit, but it knows, it's the soul, and it helps us become aware of things. So if you notice a snag or a problem, well, that's there because you are directing your attention to some data that problem is surrounding. You know, so dive into it and see what's at the core here. What is my belief that's inside of this, or why do I think this is a problem? You know, and how does the flow itself want to resolve the flow? You know, it stopped at a certain point. Why? You know, and you can really use everything that's showing up in your environment for clarity, for growth, and enjoyment, actually.
Yeah. Well, it does become kind of wondrous, because things, you're guided on a day-by-day basis. You follow the guidance, and then that, it's important to follow that guidance, but then things show up in your life that you would have never even thought or conceived that could come forth to help you. I mean, things that are just so counterintuitive that would ever even happen, and yet it did, and you didn't have anything to do with it happening. I mean, you didn't make it happen. It just was a gift. And then you realize that maybe it is true that you're totally taken care of for what you really need. It's just an interesting lesson.
It is, yeah.
I think a lot of people are in that right now. I really do.
Well, you know, we're in a part of the process now where the subconscious mind is emptying, and all the fears, all the old karmic things, everything that we didn't want to see that was able to be suppressed in the subconscious mind. The vibration is so high now on the planet that the subconscious mind's vibration has gone up, and the old fears that could have stayed there before can't stay there anymore. And so they're popping up to the surface and coming into the conscious mind, which in an individual is your daily reality, you know. And so certain things start reenacting, so that you can deal with the partial perception that caused them to get stuck in the first place. But in society, it's current events, right? It's the news.
Yeah.
And so right now, everybody's you know, fears and blockages are showing up. And so is the collective subconscious blockages, you know, collective beliefs in, you know, fear and, you know, that looks like all that stuff with immigration and we're scared of people with different skin colors and, you know, foreign things. And, you know, all these things are coming up, you know, the Me Too movement, the abuse that was hidden, everything that was a taboo or a secret is coming to the surface now. And boy, that is a flood of stuff.
It is, yeah.
In our collective consciousness, because if we're more empathic, which we are, we're highly sensitive now. I mean, we're extra, ultra sensitive now. Then we not only become aware of our own stuff, but everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the people in your office, you know, or whatever, you know, start to feel, oh, so-and-so's dealing with such-and-such at a telepathic level, and that reminds me of my thing with blah, 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 you know, and and so it just seems overwhelming. It is. But what we have to do is stay centered in our own home frequency and get, every time we go off into the contractive consciousness and resistance and denial, we have to say, stop, wait a minute, let me take a breath, let me come back into my center, remember my home frequency, and now look at it from the soul's point of view and see if I can understand why that thing got stuck in me.
Mm-hmm.
What's the good reason? And then say, oh, gosh, it was just that. And then as soon as you
and
get it,
it
dissolves on its own. It kind of just goes back into the field, and you can't even remember if it was yours.
Right.
You know, that's when you release old stuff like abuse, I have found that it's like, wait a minute, did that happen to me? Or was that somebody told me about that? Was that somebody else's? Or maybe it's just everybody has that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information?
Sure. The easiest way is just through my website, which is my name, pennypierce.com, but it's spelled P-E-N-N-E-Y and then P-E-I-R-C-E. So all kinds of stuff on there. I do private consultations. There are some workshops and stuff, and the books are all on there. And there's a lot of free stuff. There's oracle letters I put out every year and all kinds of PDFs.
Right.
So
you think, and I agree with you, that we're headed toward a transparent world with, of course, the individuals in it being transparent as well. What will that world look like?
Isn't that the question? I keep delving into that to try and write about it. In fact, in the end of the book, I think I've outlined like 21 different kinds of things that will change, you know, from when you see something from old perception, which is linear, where, you know, with linear, you have, here's me, there's my goal out ahead of me. It's separate from me. There's a gap between me and that. And so it takes willpower to cross that empty gap. And it makes everything kind of based on fear and difficulty and all that. So when you look at you know, certain things from that point of view, they look one way that we're used to, and we're used to thinking of things that way. When we look at it from the new perception, which is spherical and all in the present moment, everything shifts. So my generality about what the new intuitive age is going to be is that it's very frictionless. Things are not snagged. Everything is data. Everybody just is in the flow. And sometimes the flow stops because we focus on things, and that will cause the flow to stop for a moment so that we can concentrate and make something real, but then we release it immediately. We don't hang on and get attached to things. We enjoy them. We let them go. We integrate it into ourselves, and we move on to the next creative moment and do then that. And so there's a great fluidity and a sort of a sense of love, of surprise, and a sense of always seeing through to the real thing, right? Not getting stuck in the masks, not getting stuck in the lies and in resistance to the lies. And if you think about it now, we're so caught up in the superficial, you know, and either maintaining it or fighting it or resisting it or trying to call it out or, you know, whatever. It's just such a struggle. But struggle disappears.
Yeah.
And then cooperation appears. And then co-creation appears, and we have a kind of convening, I call it, where souls of like vibration are actually, it's starting now, I feel it, people on the same wavelength are showing up in each other's fields through these amazing kind of synchronicities, where suddenly there are people on a team, and each person has a wonderful piece of the puzzle and a skill, and they all have a kind of common goal and this new way of working together, or new even corporate structure is forming.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, what is it what I want to say? It's streamlined.
Right.
So things can be created extremely fast, and things that are of a very high vibration. And I feel like we will be solving many of the world's problems quite quickly, like, you know, cures for cancer and viral illnesses and mm-hmm. energy sources and water pollution and a lot of those things, because we will connect in these extremely cooperative, non-egotistical organizations.
Yeah, so, there's probably quite a few secrets that are being kept in patents that already have answers to a lot of that stuff.
You're
so
right,
Just the idea of releasing these secrets and bringing in new technologies that actually aren't that new but are being released
for the
first time.
And what would happen if some of the older kind of businesses like the oil companies would actually stop trying to keep the new, you know, developments from the public
up,
and just adopt it and evolve.
Yeah.
You know,
they'd probably make a lot of money.
They'd make a lot of money. It wouldn't be a big deal, you know.
Right, right. Well, it's all fear-based and having to
totally
protect what
fear-based.
You have and keep your competitor from getting what you have. And, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
that old paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right.
Yeah,
it's really kept
it's
us down in terms of technology.
Yeah, that fear thing, it either goes toward narcissism, control, domination,
mm-hmm.
like I've got to maintain my reality and can't let anybody see this, or it goes toward victimization,
mm-hmm.
and, which is really the flip side. It's, you know, victimization is control in a totally different
mm-hmm.
way.
Right.
So when you give up the need to control and dominate anything or make everybody agree to you, the way you think reality is, boy, there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of energy that can be used for creativity, celebration, direct experiential things that are fun, you know. Like, and so the arts are so important now too, to mm-hmm. have music and dance and all kinds of art and, you know, pure creative experience. Because that gets
true.
Us into it very fast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully we're on the verge of a new world that's a lot better than the old world, and the transparency and as well as the frequency, very important parts of this new world.
Mm-hmm. And you can drop into it now, right? You know, get the principles, and you can start your world being that way right now.
You can, absolutely.
Right, you know, and then talk to your friends about it, and then they can join you. And, you know, that's the way it's
mm-hmm.
going to grow,
right.
Ripple effect
right.
kind of thing.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Penny. It's been a great conversation.
It's always fun to talk to you, Susan.
Well, we've been talking with Penny Pierce. Her new book, Transparency, Seeing Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity, is talking about things that are very relevant to our world right now. Next week, we'll be interviewing Brant Cotwright, The Neurogenesis Diet and Lifestyle, and then Matta Dalian, In Search of the Miraculous. Thank you very much for joining us on Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.